We're still studying temptation.
We're on the word dokimazo. And we're going now, it's the word from Luke 11. Temptation. Let's go to Galatians 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Now, what does that mean? Let every man prove his own work. Fundamentally, what that means is this thing we talk about always. Your work is to believe. That's the work of God. And that will be tested by waiting. So instead of doing the usual, lean on your own understandings to solve a problem, you wait on God. And that then proves your own work. And that what it proves is that Jesus Christ is in you. Now it's hard, you know, a lot of people here, they say, I believe Jesus Christ is in me. But you haven't proved your own work yet. So it has to be proven to you without a doubt that you are a vessel for Jesus Christ, the fullness of Him. Because if you don't do that, then you'll have rejoicing in another, because you see the mystery, but you won't rejoice in yourself. That you've proven your own work. Amen? All right, and this is that word.
That there's also the possibility that that means to find out for yourself instead of doing something because somebody else tells you to do it.
Well, that's not what it means here, but
that's what it means here?
No, because to prove is dokizomai, which means to prove with the expectation of that you're going to. And that's the fruit of the preaching of the cross. There will be some, you may go years and you think you're waiting on God, but in truth, you're just doing your normal Gentile stuff. But something will come along in which it's maybe even down to the point of life or death or something extremely important. And you'll have to then rest in Him and wait only on God. He that waiteth in the Lord renews his faith, renews everything. He shall mount up with wings as eagles, he shall run and not be weary. From God's standpoint, waiting is equivalent to love. Remember Isaiah says, "Eye has not seen or ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man that which is God has prepared for them that love him." And Paul took it, he repeated it, and he said, "Eye has not seen, or ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man that which God has prepared that wait on him." Amen? That's how you prove your own work.
Okay, 1 Thessalonians.
2. Let's just start in verse 2, chapter 1. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth, dokizomai, our hearts. So everything is trying, and again, it doesn't mean like trying your heart to see if you're going to have a heart attack. The word heart is cardia, and in Greek, cardia just means the inner man. So he's proving by revealing or making you less and Christ more in you. You are decreasing, he must increase. In order for him to increase, you must decrease. Amen? So he's proving or trying our inner man, our inner self. Okay, go to chapter 5, the 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 14, starting verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good among yourselves unto all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Now prove all things. And we've talked many times about this. All things and all belief systems must stand the test of truth. Remember Abraham, and we've talked about this too, but Abraham was the first man that I'm aware of in history that defined truth. It's truth can only be, and truth is something that's worthy of giving importance to. Everything else isn't. Truth is that which doesn't change with the passing of time or different circumstances or different places. Truth always remains the same. And the only one that defines that, or the only one that sees that, or the only one that can do that or is that, is Jesus Christ. So that's how you end up not giving breath, not worshiping anything in time and space. Because anything that denigrates or changes with time isn't worthy of giving any importance to. That's the basic fundamental proof of all things. You prove them, you test all things to see whether or not they pass the test of truth. Now, what's important to you? If it changes with time, place, or circumstance, it's not worthy of being important. And you're a fool for giving it importance. Amen? It's kind of the basis of your walk, what goes on in the inner being. Let's go to 1 Peter. Chapter 1. Verse 13. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of manner of life. Because it is written, be you holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth or tests every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot. But here in verse 17, and it's the dokizomai is translated judgeth, but it means it's the same word. It means you're being everything is being tested. Okay. One more of the dokizomai, dokimazo. I can't even say it. I'm sure I'm not even pronouncing it right. This is the big one. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test or dokizoma the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, what is the test? Here he defines the test. But the test is the same, because Jesus Christ doesn't change with time, place, and circumstance. Here he's saying, if any man denies, lawfully read it. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Now you've got to remember this. Spirit simply is something without a body. Your words are spirit. Your thoughts are spirit. So your words and your thoughts must confess, must be in agreement that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And you prove everything by that basis. Amen?
And that's spiritually discerned. Right? I mean, we've used this.
What spiritually discerned?
Or prove Jesus Christ is in you.
You prove it by waiting on him. It's the only way to prove it.
And then what happens?
Then you won't be led astray by the Antichrist.
So this process of proving is waiting.
Well, again, this applies both to what goes on in your mind, your own speech, and what anybody else says. If any man confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, receive him not. That's a biggie. Let's go there. 2 John.
That comes in more ways than just those words. It's like your confession is your manner of life, not just the words you say.
Right. That's why the manner of life of one who really believes that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is evident.
Proving going on all the time.
Well,
That's the only reason. Remember this, I told you before, but everything, the only purpose of time and space is antagonism.
Against the knowledge of God.
Against whether or not Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, in one sense, really.
Yeah.
Because everybody, I mean, the Antichrist will confess he did come and that he will come. Because that leaves you in sort of limbo. Here is the patience of the saints. Here is the commandment of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they work, their works may follow them, and they may rest from their labors. That's as big as a test as you can get. But it is it's the definition of the commandments of God. It's the definition of the faith of Jesus Christ. That you die. By definition, then, you will rest from your labors. Nothing will ever again lead you. Your labors follow. Let's look at first, 2 John. 6. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard it from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And if there come on any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Now, what does that mean if anybody comes? Start talking about people that say they're preachers. Amen? It's like from the Didache, if any man comes to you in the name of God asking for money, shun him, he's a false apostle. Isn't talking about that. It's talking about preachers. People who say they're preachers or prophets or evangelists. Now, 3 John. 3 John. Said about the Jesus Christ anyway. Anyway, let's go one. No, that finishes that word.
Let's say he that doeth good is of God.
No, that's not what I was looking for at all.
Well,
Let's go to, let's look at the next word, which means to show forth in Acts 25. And it's apodeiknomi. God, I can't say these words. And this one just means to show forth, and it'll be evident when I read it. Acts 25. Well, let's just, we have to make sense of this. Go to start in verse 1. We're going to read through verse 9. Now when Festus was come up into the province.
Where did we go? Acts 25, verse 1. Oh, verse 1. Oh, okay.
When Festus was come up into the province, after 3 days, he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him and desired favor against him that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself would depart shortly thereafter thither. There. Then let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he was come, the Jews which came from Jerusalem stood around about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered him for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I often offended any at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, wherefore I ought to be judged to the Jews. Have I done no wrong, as those very well knowest? For if I be an offender, or have committed any thing worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar thou shalt go. Now, the reason he was able to appeal unto Caesar is because he was a Roman citizen, born in Tarsus. He's not a Jew. He's a Jew, but he was also a Roman citizen, which led him to be able to do this. But the point of it is, all the charges that they made against him, they couldn't show forth any of them, this word that we're starting here. Okay? Let's do one more real quick, maybe two. Acts 24. This is present is in court. It's peristemi. Acts 24, verse something or other. Here Paul is before Felix. And then Paul, in verse 10, then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned him unto him to speak, answered, for as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither rising up the people, neither in the synagogue nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things which they now say, they accuse me of, or say against me. And this word peristema is used as a legal word, which means they couldn't prove these things in court. Okay, one more, then we'll go on to them. Then we'll stop with this word, with temptation. It's sumbaizo. And it's another one, but it doesn't necessarily prove mean in court, but it just means prove by abundant evidence. And this is a biggie, Acts 9. We're going backwards in honor of Ronnie. Verse 9:19. This is right after he's talking about his conversion. And he said, and when he had received meat, artos just means food, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ to the synagogue in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which are called on this name in Jerusalem and come hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus because he proved that Jesus is the Christ. Now, that's the purpose of Bible studies. This is the purpose of why we meet. It's the purpose of everything. To first prove to your mind that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. And if he's in you, then you are in the days of Messiah. Everything is finished. Your only work is to believe on him that he sent. That's all. Your only vocation, your only avocation is to be transfigured. There's nothing in the world. If you're still in the world, if you're both in the world and of the world, then there's more. That's what the preaching does. The preaching of the cross proves that Jesus is the Christ. And you are dead. Amen. One more word tomorrow we'll look at in context of it's because it's tribulation, which is in the idea of it instead of temptation. And we'll see, just contrast those so we can get a handle on it. Then we will proceed on rapidly, finishing Luke. Anybody have any comments or anything? Take a big guy.